Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharon. Welcome to the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Joining me today, that's right, it's just me today. My co-host, as you know, he keeps a busy schedule, and we're really happy about that. So, you and I are going to have fun today. And I got a show, well, I like it. I hope you will like it. Nice show lined up for you today. And I say it all the time, I do. To all my faithful listeners, those of you who've been with me since day one, you are the best. I just love, 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 love you. I really, really do. For your support, your encouragement, you are the best. For those who are new to the show, welcome. We're always delighted to have new listeners on the show here. And if you have a question, feel free to dial in, 215-383-3872. Push option one, you'll be put into the queue for questions. Well, listen, I'm going to have to dive right in today because there's a lot I want to share with you today. And I'm really excited. So after this commercial break, right after this commercial, I'm going to share with you what we're going to be discussing today, or what I want to share with you today. It's actually a number one bestseller that I want to share parts of with you today. It's a number one bestseller, and it was actually shared with me by my mother. Yep, a few years ago, actually. And I really enjoyed it so much to the fact that I want to share it with you today. And it's talking about change. Change. Inevitable change. And how we deal with that change. So when we come back from this short break, I'm going to share with you this number one bestseller that she shared with me, and I hope you will enjoy it as much as I did. A lot of lessons learned from it, for sure, but when we come back, right back from this break, I'm going to share with you right here on the Marketing Pulpit.
You're listening to Johnny Lee with the PeaceAtWork.org organization and the E-Panic Button. And we're here with Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pulpit.
You know, change is inevitable. It really is. You know, there's this song that played years and years ago about change and seasons. In fact, I have it playing right now. Listen to a little bit of it. That was a cute little song. It was actually on a recording top selling list. Yes, it was. Great little song. But today we're talking about inevitable change, and I'm going to share with you something that my mother shared with me. She said she encouraged me several times to read it, and when I heard the title, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And I didn't want to read it, but I did. And to be honest with you. I'm really glad I did. But this book is about change, and I'm going to just give you a little bit of background on it. It's a story about change that takes place in a maze. And there are four characters in this book. And of all things, they're looking for cheese. That's right, cheese. And the cheese in this book is a metaphor for what we want to have in life, whether it's a job, a relationship, money. It could be a house. It could be recognition, spiritual peace, freedom, healthy lifestyle. It could be anything. It could even be an activity, jogging, working out in the gym, golf, whatever it is. Us has our own idea of what cheese is. And we pursue this cheese because we believe it will make us happy. And if we get it, we also become very attached to it. And if we lose it, or if it's taken away, it can be very traumatic. Well, the maze in this story represents where you spend time looking for what you want. That could be an organization. It could be your job. It could even be a relationship. And this story has actually been credited to saving many careers, marriages, and even saving some lives. So I want to share this with you because I think it can make a difference in your life. And what I'm going to do is just to remind you that, of course, we have to deal with change on a regular basis. Things are constantly changing. And the characters in this story, there are actually four of them. We, all of us as humans, are represented in several ways by these characters. You may find yourself as one of these characters. And if you do, it's okay. It's fine. But we are all represented by one or more of these characters. So, what's the title of this book? This book is called Who Moved My Cheese? Who Moved My Cheese? I know it sounds, I mean, it doesn't sound like a book an adult would read, but so many adults have read this book. And, of course, some people found value in it. Some people got annoyed at first and thought it was something meant for school kids. But each one of these characters represent various parts of ourselves. And of course, you get to decide who you want to act like. This story also has been downplayed by many people. There are some who feel like the lessons, of course, we all feel sometimes we don't need certain lessons in life. But nonetheless, it's called Who Moved My Cheese. So, guess what I'm going to do? I am going to read this to you. I know, that's exactly what I said. I am going to take the time over series shows, and I am going to read this to you. And at the end of it, I'm going to have a discussion about it because I think it's really a good lesson. I do. I think it's a really good lesson. So why don't we just dive right in? And I want you to listen and enjoy. A Gathering, Chicago. One sunny Sunday in Chicago, several former classmates who were good friends in school, gathered for lunch, having attended their high school reunion the night before. They wanted to hear more about what was happening in each other's lives. After a good deal of kidding and a good meal, they settled into an interesting conversation. Angela, who had been one of the most popular people in the class, said, you know, life sure turned out differently than I thought it would when we were in school. A lot has changed. It certainly has, Nathan echoed. They knew he had gone into his family's business, which had operated pretty much the same and had been a part of the local community for as long as they could remember. So they were surprised when he seemed concerned. He asked, but have you noticed how we don't want to change when things change? Carlos said, I guess we resist changing because we're afraid of change. Carlos, you were the captain of the football team, Jessica said. I never thought I'd hear you say anything about being afraid. They all laughed as they realized that although they had gone off in different directions, from working at home to managing companies, they were experiencing several and similar feelings. Everyone was trying to cope with the unexpected changes that were happening to them in recent years, and most admitted that they did not know a good way to handle them. Then Michael said, I used to be afraid of change. When a big change came along in our business, we didn't know what to do. So we didn't adjust, and we almost lost it. That is, he continued, until I heard a funny little story that changed everything. How so? Nathan asked. Well, the story changed the way I looked at change, from losing something to gaining something, and it showed me how to do it. After that, things quickly improved at work and life. At first, I was annoyed with the obvious simplicity of the story because it sounded like something we might have been told in school. Then I realized I was really annoyed with myself for not seeing the obvious and doing what works when things change. When I realized the four characters in the story represented the various parts of myself, I decided who I wanted to act like, and I changed. Later, I passed the story on to some people in our company, and they passed it on to others, and soon our business did much better because most of us adapted to change better. And like me, many people said it helped them in their personal lives as well. However, there were some people who said they got absolutely nothing from it. They either knew the lessons and were already living them, or more commonly, they thought they already knew everything and didn't want to learn. See why so many people were benefiting from it. When one of our senior executives, who was having difficulty adapting, said the story was a waste of his time, other people kidded him, saying they knew which character he was in the story, meaning the one who learned nothing new and did not change. What's the story? Angela asked. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? The group laughed. I think I like it already, Carlos said. Would you tell us the story? Maybe we can get something from it. Sure, Michael replied. I'd be happy to. It doesn't take long. And so he began. In a land far away, there lived four little characters who ran through a maze, looking for cheese to nourish them and make them happy. Two were mice, named Sniff and Scurry. And two were little people, beings who were as small as mice, but who looked and acted a lot like people today. Their names were Him and Haw. Due to their small size, it would be easy not to notice what the four of them were doing. But if you looked close enough, you could discover the most amazing things. Every day, the mice and the little people spent time in the maze looking for their own special cheese. The mice, possessing only simple rodent brains but good instincts, searched for the hard, nibbling cheese they liked, as mice often do. The two little people, Him and Haw, used their brains, filled with many beliefs and emotions, to search for a very different kind of cheese, with a capital C, which they believed would make them feel happy and successful. As different as the mice and little people were, they shared something in common. Every morning, they each put on their jogging suits and running shoes, left their little homes, and raced out into the maze looking for their favorite cheese. The maze was a labyrinth of corridors and chambers, some containing delicious tea. There were also dark corners and blind alleys leading absolutely nowhere. It was an amazing and an easy place for anyone to get lost. However, for those who found their way, the maze held secrets that let them enjoy a better life. The mice, Snip and Scurry, used the simple trial and error method of finding cheese. They ran down one corridor, and if it proved empty, they turned and ran down another. They remembered the corridors that held no cheese and quickly went into new areas. Snip would smell out the general direction of the cheese using his great nose, and Scurry would race ahead. They got lost, as you might expect, went off in the wrong direction, and often bumped into walls. But after a while, they found their way. Like the mice, the two little people, Him and Haw, also used their ability to learn from their past experiences. However, they relied on their complex brains to develop more sophisticated methods of finding cheese. Sometimes they did well, but at other times their powerful human beliefs and emotions took over and clouded the way they looked at things. It made life in the maze more complicated and challenging. Nonetheless, Snip and Scurry, Him and Haw all discovered in their own way what they were looking for. They each found their own kind of cheese one day at the end of one of the corridors in Cheese Station C. Every morning after that, the mice and the little people dressed in their running gear and headed over to Cheese Station C. It wasn't long before they each established their own routine. Snip and Scurry continued every day and raced through the maze, always following the same route. When they arrived at their destination, the mice took off their running shoes, tied them together, and hung them around their necks so they could get to them quickly whenever they needed them again. Then they enjoyed the cheese. In the beginning, Him and Haw also raced toward Cheese Station C every morning to enjoy the tasty new morsels that awaited them. But after a while, a different routine set in for the little people. Him and Haw awoke each day a little later, dressed a little slower, and walked to Cheese Station C. After all, they knew where the cheese was now and how to get there. They had no idea where the cheese came from or who put it there. They just assumed it would be there. As soon as Him and Haw arrived at Cheese Station C each morning, they settled in and made themselves at home. They hung up their jogging suits, put away their running shoes, and put on their slippers. They were becoming very comfortable now, and they found cheese, and they were happy they had found the cheese. "This is great," Him said. "There's enough cheese here to last us forever." The little people felt happy and successful and thought they were now secure. It wasn't long before Him and Haw regarded the cheese they found at Cheese Station C as their cheese. It was such a large store of cheese that they eventually moved their homes to be closer to it and built a social life around it. To make themselves feel more at home, Him and Haw decorated the walls with sayings. They even drew pictures of cheese around them, which made them smile. One read, "Having cheese makes you happy." Sometimes Him and Haw would take their friends by to see their pile of cheese at Cheese Station C and point to it with pride, saying, "Pretty nice cheese, huh?" Sometimes they shared it with their friends, and sometimes they didn't. "We deserve this cheese," Him said. "We certainly had to work long and hard enough to find it." He picked up a nice, fresh piece and ate it. Afterwards, Him fell asleep, as he often did. Every night, the little people would waddle home full of cheese, and every morning they would confidently return for more. This went on for quite some time. After a while, Him's and Haw's confidence grew into the arrogance of success. Soon they became so comfortable they didn't even notice what was happening. as time went on, that arrived early every morning and sniffed and scratched and scurried around Chief Station C, inspecting the area to see if there had been any changes from the day before. Then they would sit down to nibble on the cheese. One morning they arrived at Cheese Station C and discovered there was no cheese. They weren't surprised, since Sniff and Scurry had noticed the supply of cheese had been getting smaller every day. They were prepared for the inevitable and knew instinctively what to do. They looked at each other, removed the running shoes they had tied together and hung conveniently around their necks, put them on their feet, and laced them up. The mice did not overanalyze things. To the mice, the problem and the answer were both simple. The situation at Cheese Station C had changed. So Sniff and Scurry decided to change to the maze. Then Sniff lifted his nose, sniffed, and nodded to Scurry, who took off running through the maze, while Sniff followed as fast as he could. They were quickly off in search of new cheese. Later that same day, Tim and Haw arrived at Cheese Station C. They had not been paying attention to the small changes that had been taking place each day, so they took it for granted their cheese would be there. They were unprepared for what they found. "What? No cheese?" Tim yelled. He continued yelling, "No cheese! No cheese!" as though, if shouting loud enough, someone would put it back. "Who moved my cheese?" he hollered. Finally, he put his hands on his hips, turned red, and he screamed at the top of his voice, "It's not fair!" Mahal just shook his head in disbelief. He, too, had counted on finding cheese at Cheese Station C. He stood there for a long time, frozen with shock. He was just not ready for this. Tim was yelling something, but Haw didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to deal with what was facing him, so he just turned everything out and tuned everything out. The little people's behavior was not very attractive or productive, but it was understandable. Finding cheese wasn't easy, but it meant a great deal more to the little people than just having enough of it. Finding cheese was the little people's way of getting what they thought they needed to be happy. They had their own ideas of what cheese meant to them, depending on their taste. For some, finding cheese was having material things. For others, it was enjoying good health or developing a spiritual sense of well-being. For Haw, cheese just meant feeling safe, having a loving family someday, and living in a cozy cottage on Cheddar Lane. To him, cheese was becoming a big cheese in charge of others and owning a big house atop Kemmerbrook Hill. Because cheese was important to them, the two little think of was to keep looking around Cheeseless Station C to see if the cheese was really gone. While Sniff and Scurry had quickly moved on, Tim and Haw. They ranted and raved at the injustice of it all. Haw started to get depressed. What would happen if the cheese wasn't there tomorrow? He had made future plans based on this cheese. The little people couldn't believe it. How could this have happened? No one had warned them. It wasn't right. It was not the way things were supposed to be. Tim and Haw went home that night hungry and discouraged. But before they left, Haw wrote, "The more important your cheese is to you, the more you want to hold on to it." Again, he wrote, "The more important your cheese is to you, the more you want to hold on to it."
Winter turns to spring. It's not just season. and you know it goes for everything.
Clouds can turn to rain and then it just might snow. You gotta take a lesson from Mother Nature, and if you do, you'll know.
When it's time to change, then it's time to change. Don't fight the tide, come along for the ride.
Oh, I hope you are enjoying this story, Boo Boo My Teeth. I really enjoyed it when I read it, and I hope you're enjoying it too. And on next week, we're going to continue with Who Moved My Teeth. We're going to find out what him and Haw decided to do. Oh, yes. Sniff and Scurry, what did they decide to do? Who Moved My Teeth? And thank you so much for tuning in to our show today. It's always a delight to have you here with us. And tune in next week when we will continue with Inevitable Change. Inevitable change is going to happen. What do we do when things change? Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a wonderful day. This is Sharon. Thank you for listening to the show. Have a great day.